Well, we're very blessed tonight to have Brother Rob Pelkey with us again to preach to us this evening. Brother Rob pastors Mount Zion Baptist Church in Sellersburg, Indiana. Most all of you know him by now. And we're delighted that he's here, looking forward to what God's going to say to us this evening. Brother Rob.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. I feel like if I say it and the microphone's not on, well, it's like winking at somebody in the dark. What good is that, you know? Church, I'm delighted to be back with you. And Pastor, this is a great trust and an honor to be in your pulpit and with this church. God has allowed me to be here and stand in this position many times through the years. But I want us to turn tonight to John's Gospel, chapter 13. John, chapter 13. There's much more that could be said about this passage, beginning at verse 1. But after I get done tonight, you'll probably be glad I didn't say more. Okay, buckle your seatbelt and pray. Amen. Amen. Keep your heart open and ask the Lord for help for each of us and for the church and for the pastor. We certainly want to be a help and not a hindrance. If you'll look with me, beginning at verse 1, how many of you were here when I was here about 18 years ago? All right, there's a few of you, all right? All right, for those of you that just raised your hand, I want you to listen better this time, okay? So I won't have to keep preaching this message over and over and over. But I really believe that this is what God has for the hour and what he wants me to preach tonight. Beginning at verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover was, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Don't you just love Peter? I'll tell you what. Yeah, he's like me, always saying too much and getting in trouble. I know nobody else is like that. Jesus said this, okay, after he went his tirade, you know, okay, my hands and my feet and my head. And Jesus said unto him, he that is washed, and that's the word for bathed all over, okay, he that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, which is talking about just the feet, okay, the brief cleansing of the feet. And but is clean every whit, and you're clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you not all clean. He knew, and he knows, amen. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your master and Lord, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, amen, amen, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Let's pray. Now, Lord, we thank you for the word of God. We pray that the light of the Holy Spirit and the word of God would come upon all of us tonight, and that you would teach us, and that you would speak a personal word to each one present. And I do pray that you'll bless your church and bless this pastor. What a dear man of God and a good friend he has been through the years. And Lord, we just are so grateful for your presence with us tonight. And Lord Jesus, we open our, not just our arms, but our hearts and say, Lord Jesus, you're welcome. We worship you. We bless you. You are the living Christ. You have defeated sin and hell and the power of the grave. And you're the head of all principality and power. And in you and you alone is our completeness, even as the choir just sang. You're our only real peace. And you indeed are Lord of all. And we pray that you'll be glorified. We pray for help to do just that in myself as I preach and in all of us as we respond to you and obey you tonight. And help us, please, and have your way, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, here in this passage, of course, we're talking about foot washing. That's the subject at hand, right? Some of you are nervous, I understand. I want you to see the background for this. It fascinates me. Right before this, there had been a strife among them. Can you imagine a strife among God's people? You don't have to imagine. All right? I mean, we've all seen it. We've all known it and at one time or another. You got family. You're going to have some strife in your family. Amen. Right? You have to learn how to forgive and how to go along and get along. Amen? And love one another. Well, in Luke 22, there had been a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Oh, isn't that just like fingernails on a chalkboard, okay? And just prior to this also was the woman who had broken the alabaster box and poured the contents out on the Lord, about a year's, average year's wages in that ointment that was that precious, and she poured it all out upon him. And the saying that Judas got started, no doubt, to what purpose is this waste? Okay? And the Lord, of course, knew what was being said, and that kind of stuff, listen, you'd be surprised, that kind of stuff will go like wildfire. And catch on and catch on and catch on. And this was also right before the bloody night of prayer in Gethsemane. When our Lord sweat, as it were, great drops of blood in such agony as he looked into that cup and saw your sin and my sin. Amen? Amen. And realized that he was going to be partaking of that. And of course, Gethsemane was right on the cusp of Calvary, where the Lamb of God would be butchered, innocent Lamb of God butchered, bearing all of my sin and yours. Amen? And that's the background. And he just absolutely, I love, there's a little chorus. I certainly don't love everything, all the little contemporary choruses, but there's some that are just spot on, all right? And one of those little songs, they nailed it. They're even talking about this and the foot washing. And so I paid special attention. And the title of it is Meekness and Majesty. That's him. That just in a capsule. Meekness and Majesty. Amen. What a Savior. Well, that's what's going on here. There's a picture that's involved here. I know there's more than a picture, and there's more than what I'm going to say, and some other angles that this could be approached from where there's even more insight, and certainly all of it's helpful, but I feel led to go in this direction again tonight. And I want you to notice in verses 3-5, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. I mean, he knew who he was. What he did that night when he washed their feet, that was not an identity crisis, forgetting who he was and whatnot. No, that wasn't it at all. He knew he was come from God and also knew that he was going back to God. He riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, it says, okay? Now, I want you to see this. The reason he laid aside his outer robe, and that made him to appear just like a common household servant, okay? But he laid aside that outer robe. It was, you know, kind of like in the way of him serving, huh? It was in the way of him serving. You know, if I was going to change a tire by the side of the road, Clayton, I would probably want to take my coat off, all right? Why? It was in the way. And, you know, isn't that a pretty coat? I made sure to wear it tonight. Amen? You've seen it now, all right? That's my splendor. That's my glory, okay? Well, what did he do? He set it off to the side. That was in the way of him serving. And listen, that's a picture of his whole life. That is, he gave himself. And the Bible also says that, you know, he took a towel, all right? I have a towel with me tonight. Amen. I don't carry one with me all the time, but I just happen to have a towel, all right? He took a towel, all right? And I'm now girding my towel. Are you ready? All right, if I can figure out how to do it. I used to know how. All right, he took a towel, and because he intended to serve them. That's what he said, and that's a picture of his entire life and the purpose of him coming. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He said, I'm among you as he that serveth, okay? And he made himself of no reputation. I love that line from Charles Wesley in that Christmas song, mild he laid his glory by. Amen. Born that man no more may die. born to save the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Amen. My. Well, he laid his glory by. He made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant. That's, Paul is listing that in Philippians chapter 2, not even talking about this time here, but this is a pretty good picture of what he was about to do totally for us. Well, that's kind of the foot washing pictured. But then there's the explanation. Y'all got to listen faster now, okay? Everybody try to help me. You got to listen faster, all right? It was not understood. That's pretty clear from what, Peter just totally, whoop, it went right over his, he didn't understand it. So it was, if all it had been was him physically washing their feet, all right, why would he have said, "Know ye what I have done unto you"? Okay? I mean, that would have been a kindergarten question. It was something more than just the physical act. And it's something that we can understand today. He said, "You shall know hereafter." He laid aside his glory to serve and to sacrifice for us and to minister to us, to be a blessing to us. And I'm going to say, knowing that he told the disciples that if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. He said they ought to wash one another's feet. That's not just them, that's us as believers, amen? And certainly as a body of believers. That this is, I don't believe that foot washing is an ordinance like baptism and the Lord's Supper. And those are the only two ordinances of the church. But I do believe that the truth of it needs to be practiced in every Baptist church. No question about that. That is to lay our glory by. And by the way, that's the hardest part. To lay our glory by, and in order to serve and to sacrifice for one another, and to minister to one another, and to seek to be a blessing to one another in love and in humility. Amen. Well, Peter, of course, wanted to be washed all over and everything. And no, this is for those who have already been bathed, all right? I mean, we stand clean before God. But there's a part of us that still lives in this world, and that's our feet, amen? The feet of our soul, you might say, all right? I'm spiritualizing, but I don't apologize for this because I see it, all right? I hope you do. There's a part of us that has continual contact with the world of sin. In one form or another, we're confronted with it. In a world of sin and sorrow and struggle and suffering and sadness, just because a person is saved, it doesn't exempt them from the world because we're still here. Amen? We're still here. There's no question about it. A world of sin, it's all around us, all right? Of sorrow, of struggle, of suffering, of sadness. Sometimes even though we've been bathed all over and we stand righteous before God in Christ and we're clean, amen, our sins have been washed away, all right? However, that part of us that still is in this world and sometimes on this journey, okay? You notice when you got saved, the Lord didn't just snatch you out of here, all right? You figured that out. But it's our feet that sometimes get hot, okay? And, of course, they went everywhere barefoot. Those that had sandals were a little better, more well-to-do, all right? Or at least got blessed by somebody. But your feet going through this world, even if you got sandals, hot and tired and sore and dusty and sometimes even cracked open and bleeding, You know, you don't want to go through life pointing out to everybody, I hurt. Okay? But here's the deal. When we're like that, when our feet are really hot and tired and sore and dusty and cracked open, like I said, that makes it awfully hard to go forward. Amen? When your feet are like that, you just can't go forward. And it makes it very difficult to keep your balance. Okay? It makes it easy just to want to sit and quit. Don't raise your hand, but anybody ever felt like that? I mean, just give it up, you know? I was blessed that I'm 76, and my doctor at VA that was performing a procedure, he was asking me questions, you know, and wanted to know I was retired by now. I mean, 76, come on, you know. And no. Yeah. He said, you didn't retire. He said, everybody else, they all retired by your age, you know. And I'm kind of liking that. After he'd given me those shots in my spine and whatnot, and they gave me my little peanut butter crackers, you know, and some juice. And some of you know what I'm talking about, all right? And some of you say, what in the world's he? Okay, don't worry, I'll tell you later, all right? But when that happened, he's in and he's talking to me, and he puts his arm on me, on my shoulder, and presents me to the nurses and the staff and everybody that's right there. And he said, he's 76, and he still hasn't retired. Oh, yeah, he wanted to know when I was going to retire. I said, Lord, I couldn't answer him out. I said, maybe 80. I don't know. It sounded like a good number to me. But wait, that's only 4 years away. My. No, we'll extend it. We get 80, we'll extend it, all right? And I told him that. Where was I going? Anybody got any idea? Okay, well, we're gonna move on now. We better. Sometime I'll figure it out and I'll be sure to tell you. I'm saying that sometimes it'll be easier just to sit and quit. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. All right. When your feet are sore, all right, because of the contact you have with this world. And God's made provision for that for every child of God. Amen. And I'm looking at the provision he's made. Amen. And then there's the foot washing is commanded. He said, if you know these things, you ought to do them, all right? You should do them in verses 14 and 15. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments in the very next chapter. This is not a suggestion. We are to be foot washing Baptists. Well, the first point, it's not scriptural, but it's Baptistic, so I've got to preach it. Are you ready? I call it excuses for not washing feet. Are you ready? Well, I would wash feet, but you know, in the average Baptist church, if you could take a spiritual X-ray, about half the people have their feet standing straight out, okay, and looking at everybody that comes by, wondering if maybe somebody going to bless them, going to help them. Amen. Wash their feet, okay. And I would wash feet, but you know, nobody washes mine. Well, I'm sorry, but before the Lord, I don't think that dog's going to hunt. Amen. Or I would wash feet, but I just don't really know how. Do I start with the right foot or the left foot? And then do I hold the towel in the right hand or the left hand? And, you know, these are important things about foot washing. I mean, you know. And that spiritual sanctification, sanctified sarcasm. All right, you got it? I can't even tell my own jokes. Pretty bad. And some people, you know, they got a legitimate excuse. I got spiritual arthritis. it's just hard for me to get down there. Amen? Could you see me? The lights are on in here. All right. I'm winking. All right. Oh, spiritual arthritis, spiritual lumbago. They're just too stiff, you know. And there's a cure for that. Somebody else said, I just don't have time. I'm too busy. And are you ready, Brother Greg? And can you sit right there for me for just a moment? I'll let you get back to your wife. Un momento, all right? Okay. I did bring my bowl, all right? All right. I used to have a picture but it seemed too real, and the people almost fainted before. Anyway, all right. So, you know, I would wash feet, but I just don't like to get too close to people. Whenever I get close to people, I always get hurt.
Yeah.
Always get hurt. Don't hurt me now. All right. You're still trying to get me back for that judo. All right. Can you cross your leg?
No.
Okay, just put one on. Okay, that's good. We'll call that. All right. And, you know, I just don't know. He looked mean. I mean, you know, I just don't want to get close to folks. Have you ever known any? Don't raise your hand. All right. You might be the one I'm talking about. I don't know. He just looks, I don't want to get close to him. What am I going to do? Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead. All right. I'm going to go ahead and wash his feet. Right. See? Boo, hoo, hoo. Huh? Just take you just take your feelings like a baby, huh? And you go babysit for the devil. Yeah. They don't treat you good, you know, and you lock yourself up. And after a while, though, it's not only terribly confining, my pastor said, but also you get attached to the baby, your feelings, okay? But you can uncross your legs now. You can even sit by your wife now. Amen. All right. Aren't you glad, Brother Jeff? You got a man I can just, right there in the front row. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, this thing is, I always get hurt. And I hate this, but the Lord Jesus even washed the feet, as far as we know, of you know who? Of Judas Iscariot. So what you do is you wash the feet of any brother or sister who will let you get close enough to them. You know? Or you find out whose feet God would have you to wash, and you go to it. Amen. If they kick it away, you're not accountable. That makes sense? Moving forward. Now, what are you talking about, foot washing? You're talking about spiritually? How do you wash feet? Okay, we're talking about foot washing in action. I want to give you a few ways that you can wash feet. All right, you can wash feet by praying for one another. Amen. Now, there's not a lot of glory in it. It's kind of like foot washing. Amen. When you are praying for one another, praying always, Paul said in Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance for all saints. You can wash feet by getting in the prayer closet. In secret, there's no glory. Amen? But like we said, this thing of foot washing, first thing you got to do, the hardest thing, just lay your glory by. It's not about you. It's not about me. Amen? But it's about God's will and others. Amen? And you can even wash the feet of some missionary on the mission field. Amen? Another way that you can wash feet is by encouraging one another, figuring out ways to encourage one another, okay? And especially when you're aware somebody's going through trials. But believe me, even if you don't know about a trial they're going through, you probably won't miss it if you wash their feet they'll still be really, really blessed and helped. You can wash one another's feet by encouraging one another. And this is what Paul said. He is the God of, our God is the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our troubles, that we might be able to comfort others who are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we are comforted of God. All right, I probably messed it up some, but I got the gist of it, okay? And that is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. And in other words, God allows us to go through a trial, and he comforts us directly. What he's done is given us a towel. Amen? And he means for us to take that comfort and use it to comfort others who are going through trials. So sometimes when we go through a trial and we just can't believe it and we're all upset and whatnot, God has just given us a towel for others. Because he's going to, if we go to him with it, amen. We sang What a Friend, and that's not just a song. It's based on scripture, amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. And when the Lord supernaturally comforts your heart, oh my, he gave you a towel, amen. You take it and comfort others with that towel wherewith you've been comforted. I can still remember Miss Lucille Cannon. I pastored down in Mississippi for a number of years, and boy, that was an educational trip for a Yankee boy raised in Michigan. They talk different. They got different customs. They got different sayings and whatnot. It's just like another world. But boy, do they eat good. They all eat like they just came in from, like they're about to go out on the field, okay, all day to work. But Miss Lucille Cannon, she was a widow woman and a godly woman, prayed, and I knew she was praying for me. And she cared about me. She cared about the church I was pastoring. And she'd call me, and she'd say, now she could hardly hear, all right? And she didn't know I could hear well, okay? And she'd say, Brother Rob, said, God had me on my knees for you last night about 1 o'clock. Brother, stay in the battle. Stay in the battle. Bye. Yeah, and it's dead. She just said goodbye. All right? But you know what? I felt like I could get up and go a little further. Amen? She knew I was fighting the devil. Amen? And too often it can be difficult sometimes. All right. Anyway, you remember Tabitha. You remember her name, Tabitha Dorcas. Do you remember how that, I won't take you back there. It's in Acts chapter 9. But listen, she was such a godly woman, and she made it her business to go around washing the feet of the saints. When she died, Peter had a problem. They had asked him to, they couldn't stand it, that Dorcas was dead. All right? Brother Peter, do something. And I know he wasn't the first pope. If he was, he didn't know it at that time anyway. You know, what do I do? Well, he prayed, amen, and it'll have to be God. And in that case, it was God's will, and God brought her back. God brought her back. But this is what happened. Oh, Brother Peter, you just don't know. She made coats and garments for everybody. And she was just, the Bible says she was full of good works. Amen? Full of good, that was her work. That was her life. Full of good works for the glory of God. Foot washing the saints. And she'd figure out ways to take care of their needs. I can see the different people holding up different items that she had made and whatnot, and they're all, you know, they're all around Peter, and they're all around the body of Dorcas. And Brother Peter finally said, "Y'all got to go. I got to pray." Amen. And God took care of the rest. But listen, maybe you don't sow, but maybe you do. Amen. Maybe you can bake a pie. Amen. I've had my feet washed with cherry cobbler. Amen. I'm talking about good. Amen. Yeah. And that lady just came to our house, brought us a big old thing of cherry cobbler. Homemade, I'm talking about. Pretty good from the store, but really good from the homemade from that sister. And I knew she was just saying, keep preaching, keep serving the Lord. We're behind you. Amen. She was a member of our church when I was starting out in my home church. I've had my feet washed. When I was in South Korea, they had a strange custom, okay? You always had to take your shoes off when you came in the house, all right? Everybody did it. They even had pigeonholes out in the vestibule for everybody to take their shoes off. I don't know what you do if you got pretty shoes and you wanted to show them off. You put your shoes in there, and it was just amazing that after the services, and at the end of the day, when you left, you had, of course, to get your shoes to go outside, somebody had shined your shoes while you're going through the day. They took some time in the afternoon when they could have had a good nap. Amen. To shine your shoes. That's the closest I can think of it to literal foot washing, but that blessed me. And it was in that atmosphere of love that God saved me. It was in that atmosphere of selflessness and service to one another that God saved me. I'd like to tell you about that again, but you already know it by heart. But listen, I've had my feet washed with a lawnmower. Yeah, I got back from a meeting and I'd been gone and I didn't have time to cut my grass. And you've been there before. I got back and I noticed my grass had already been manicured. It was a teenage boy in the church that decided he wanted to help the preacher while the preacher was gone, have a part in his ministry. I say hallelujah. Got my feet washed with a lawnmower. I went from Mississippi over the Mississippi River into Arkansas. All right, I'm giving you a geography lesson now. Over that Arkansas bridge into Helena, Arkansas, up just south of Memphis, all right, Tennessee. And now, so I got three states there. You got that? Anyway, got across there. I was going to visit in a meeting. All right, and so I'm visiting, I was there for the preaching, there the next day. Hard to say goodbye to those brothers. I loved them all, and it was such sweet fellowship in that church that I had been a real friend to me, we'd been close for a number of years, so I just stopped in. I knew the men were just volunteering to fellowship with one another. Okay, not a bad idea. And there they are, we're having a good time talking and whatnot. I knew I needed to go, all right? I even left my keys in the car, you know, which was safe enough right there in that church driveway, and it was back in a private area. And I spent more time than I meant to. When I got back out to the car, I turned the car on. Oh, yeah, I didn't tell you. It was a 1972 LTD tank. Okay? It was mostly tank. I think it was like 28 gallons in that gas tank. You had to have it because it went through, you know, just like that. But my gas gauge was broken. All right? So I tried to outsmart it, brother. I had it marked down on a little piece of paper and kept it in my sun visor, you know, what the mileage was. And I knew 28 gallons, I probably had about 200 miles and I'd be needing to get gas. Now, that's not very good gas mileage if you can figure. Anyway, So I knew, oh, yeah, I need to get gas in Arkansas because they don't have tax on it like they do in Mississippi at that time, and so it's cheaper, you know. So I pulled up to the little station where they've got they had a little island, and you filled up your own tank and whatnot, and they had the little girl almost like in a phone booth in the middle. She was taking the money and whatnot, I started pumping gas into that tank, and it was dribbling over. It was spitting back at me. And I finally got it up to 35 cents, okay? And I said, no, I don't care. I got to have at least 50 cents. And so I went ahead and got 50 cents worth, because I knew I was going to have to face that little "can I help you" girl in the middle of, you know, in that booth. And so when I went there to pay, I told her, I said, I just got 50 cents worth. And she just kind of, I know, you know. Then I said, I knew what she's thinking. I said, just don't leave your car parked over at that Calvary Baptist Church over there, because they snuck around and filled it up when I left the car in the driveway with the keys in it. I got my feet washed with gasoline. Amen. I was happy too, I'll tell you what. That made me want to keep on keeping on. Amen. And so many times God's people have washed my feet. I've had them washed with a snowplow, and Brother John Duvall, amen. I could go on, but I'll not. Listen, here's the deal. Paul said in Hebrews 10:24, consider one another to provoke one another. All right? Now, that doesn't sound good if you stop right there, does it? Most people are good at that. Consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Amen. God will show you if you ask him. How can I wash that brother's sister's feet to provoke them unto love and good works? In the house of Stephanus, you remember them, 1 Corinthians 16. The Bible said they have addicted themselves unto the ministry of the saints. Oh, yeah, I meant to loosen my tie. You know, I mean, if I'm changing a tire and everything. The house of Stephanus, they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. It was like getting a hit, you know, of dope. Yeah. I mean, just to get to wash somebody's feet. They were addicted to the ministry of the saints. They were addicted to foot washing. Be careful now. You get hooked. Amen. But it'll be a wonderful experience. And listen, another way you can wash feet is by praising God. Amen. You say, well, I do that in the song service. I know I'm going to cover that, okay? What you do is, well, I'll get to that in a minute. This is what David said, though. Psalm 34, verses 1 and 2, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad, not sad, not mad. If it's the humble, they'll be glad. Amen. It'll wash their feet. There's an old sister in Mississippi that had come visit our church from time to time. And when she came to church, she walked in, and she could talk pretty loud. And she walked in, this is what she'd do. She'd greet two or three people and walk down the aisle. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And you knew she had arrived. Amen. And you also knew church was on, Miss Teresa. That's what it was. I mean, it's on. Amen. And we were glad she was there. Amen. There was enough of the other. Anyway, when it comes to the thing of praising God, you can just go ahead. You don't have to ask the devil for permission before you praise God. Amen. Amen. If you do, he won't give it anyway. All right, you can mark that down. It's like one brother. In fact, he's from Kentucky. I don't know if he's still alive and serving the Lord or not, but years ago I heard him talk about when he got in trouble. You know, most of my preacher friends get in trouble one way or another, all right? And including myself. But I'm just saying that he had a woman meet him just beyond the double doors out in the vestibule, foyer, what do you call that? Anyway. Yeah, the entryway there. She called his name. And she said, brother, did the Lord tell you to shout? He didn't even, I mean, he's just preaching. He got blessed by his own preaching. You know, what are you going to do? What are you going to, I don't know if you can do that or not, but sometimes if you're going to get blessed at some places, that's what you got to do. Anyway, so he evidently had shouted while he's preaching. And she said, did the Lord tell you to shout? And he thought for just a second, you could tell it was just a second by his reply. And he was pretty sharp. And he looked at her. He said, no, ma'am. I volunteered. Amen. I've thought about it. You can volunteer, can't you, sister? You can volunteer. Amen. Woo, amen. Praise God. Hey, this is wonderful. I'm loving it. I just let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice, he said. Psalm 5 and verse 11. Let them, he's the same, Psalm 5 and verse 11. You turn there. Sometime. You're going to write it down, man. You need a permission slip? You got it. Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Okay? Because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. We get enough of the other. We do way too much of the other. Amen. But you can wash one another's feet just by praising God. And I almost told you earlier, but I'll tell you now, you can cheat. What you do is while you're singing those hymns like we sang tonight, you start meaning it. You start meaning it. And I will say this. If enough of you start meaning it, somebody's going to be aware something's going on. Amen? Now, they may not know it's you. Then again, they may. Amen? But you just start meaning it. My folks are blessed to have me also leading the singing at my church, although that would be dubious to them when I say it's a blessing. Because I'm continually reminding them, think about it. Amen? You know why I say that? I've been out there. Sung through two or three verses, don't even know what I sang, all right? And I'm just saying, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's what Paul said. Well, y'all listen faster now. If you don't, see, this is your fault. All right. Another way you can wash feet is by just flat being faithful. Amen. Being faithful. You know, Proverbs 25:19, an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth. Or a foot out of joint. Well, a broken tooth. I mean, you know, you go to bite down on an apple or something, and there's a nerve that goes from that tooth right through your eyeball, out comes out the top of your head. Huh? Yeah, right when you went to count on it, it lets you down. Or a foot out of joint. All right. Well, after a while, the pain may subside a little bit. But if you get in a hurry and forget about it and you go to depending on that foot, as soon as you put that foot down to put any weight on it, it's going to let you know. You're going to say, whoop, can't use that foot. Okay. That's it. An unfaithful man is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. A foot out of joint, listen, it's still part of the body. It's usually swelled up. It'll cause more grief and pain than it does help. It's a foot out of joint. It'll make it hard for the body to move forward. Are you with me? And in many cases, you used to be able to count on it. And you long to be able to again. Well, on the positive side, be faithful. Amen. You wash feet by being faithful. Be faithful to your church. Faithful about meeting with the church. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching and he's coming. Amen. My wife and I were, back when we first got married, I actually went grocery shopping with her. It was a new experience for me, you know. I mean, I'm paying. I'm going to check this out, you know. And I saw these bananas. They were just 10 cents a pound. I know what you're thinking. They're all black and they've got flies. No, no, they look pretty good to me, you know. And so I got a bunch of those bananas. And my wife was happy about it too, 10 cents a pound. And she looked at them. She's amazed and whatnot. And I'm trying to figure out, there's other bananas, 39 cents a pound, maybe 29 cents back then, but it was considerably more at the time. And I'm thinking, why were these cheaper? You know, somebody put poison in them or something? What's the deal? And then it dawned on me. The reason they were cheaper is they were separated from the bunch. Amen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm talking about something else. Separated bananas and separated Christians from the church, they're just not worth as much. You mark it down. Don't try it. Amen. Don't try just laying out or something. But something else, when a banana is separated from the bunch, somebody pointed out, it's a sure sign it's about to get peeled. Amen. About to get peeled. Preacher heard his little boy in the back seat of the car driving to church again. Okay, from one meeting to the next, and one night to the next. And the kids got to go because they're part of the family, you know. And one little boy, though, he was in the back seat grumbling. If you could imagine that, somebody grumbling, and he's grumbling. And this is what he was saying. Church, church, church. Pastor told about this. This is what he heard his son say. Church, church, church. If we ain't going, we just been. If we ain't just been, we're going again. Huh? You'd have to be a PK. They don't call them PKs anymore, you know, preachers' kids. Now they call them GTOs. Groovy theologians' offspring. Okay? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's old now, too. They probably got another one. But you wash one another's feet by being faithful to your church, faithful about meeting with the church, faithful about praying with the church, faithful about standing with the church, faithful about serving with the church, faithful about sacrificing with the church, and even faithful about suffering with the church, and faithful about worshiping with the church. And holding up your pastor's hands, you know, like Aaron and Hur on each side, amen. They held up Moses' hands, and the battle kept going on straight forward, and God won the victory. Well, I'm talking about you can wash one another's feet by being faithful. You can wash one another's feet by talking right. Boy, howdy. Proverbs 12:25. On the positive side, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. That's kind of like foot washing by your speech. Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. My, my. I mean, it just does something for you, blesses you, helps you. All right? Paul said it. Let your speech be always with grace. That is, let it be an influence for God in the lives of others. Amen? Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Amen. And the negative side of it, we're almost done. Go with me, if you will, to Ephesians. We're getting close. All right, Ephesians. We're in the fourth quarter, at least. All right? Ephesians 4. Verses 29 through 31. This is the word. This is what Paul said. Let to the saints of God, to the church at Ephesus, he said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Do you know what that is? That word for corrupt, that's the word, it comes from the word putrefy. That's the Greek word it comes from. That's the base, to putrefy. We're talking about rotten, okay? whether it's cussing, whether it's cutting somebody, whether it's gossip, it's all garbage. Paul said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouths. But instead, positively, but that which is good, wholesome, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. Amen. Wash their feet and help them on their journey for the Lord. Then he said this in the same context. He said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. You know, you can grieve the Spirit of God and his work and his influence by corrupt communication. And that's why we got to pray. Just keep praying. Amen. Make sure it's to the use of edifying, that it may be an influence for God in the life of the hearer. Grace. Amen. And then he said, again, in the same context as speech, he said, let all bitterness. We're turning the light on now. Excuse me. Okay, think right now. Think of it. We're turning the light on. All right. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. You say, clamor? What's clamor? Well, the word behind it is the Greek word, literally, you can check me out, is caw, caw. Say, what is that? That's onomatopoetic, like the bee goes buzzing by. Caw, 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 caw. Okay? Yeah. That's the word he's using here. And he said, let all the bitterness and wrath and anger and caw, caw, amen, and evil speaking be put away from you, along with all malice. Amen. And be ye, I'm not there yet. Wait a minute, I'll get there in a minute. All right. I'm telling you, when you talk right, amen, you can wash one another's feet. A good word maketh that heart that's heavy, it makes it glad. Amen. And it's an influence for God if you use it right. I was blessed to pastor for a while out in Montana, and we were real close to Yellowstone National Park and in there a good bit, you know. And one day there was almost like a stampede. All the buffalo decided to cross the road at the same time. All the buffalo in the park, it seemed like. And they just kept coming. And I'm watching. And I'm watching one buffalo. I figure he was an adolescent. I don't know. But he was, you know, about 2,000 pounds plus of vim, vigor, and vitality. And he was almost dancing as he's coming by and almost shaking the ground himself. And I'm trying to watch them from a safe distance. As a matter of fact, I met a stranger, okay? I knew I needed to get some protection. So I got with this man behind his car door as we're watching him go by. Don't even know who he was. He's a nice guy, though. But here's this buffalo, this one buffalo. I'm watching this one buffalo. And he's doing this, you know, doing this way, just bouncing by and whatnot. All of a sudden, I'd never seen it before. He stuck his tongue out. Not at me. I know he didn't. But he stuck his tongue out, and it just kept going. It just kept going. And I said, I know you. I used to be your pastor. Oh, my. Huh? Listen. That was a million years ago, a million miles away. All right. You know, somebody said that some people need to go to the hospital, have a yappendectomy. And then there's the preacher. He was in a dilemma. The town gossip came to church. And sure enough, he preached, and she came forward. Oh, praise God. But she looked at the preacher and she said, preacher, I just want to get I want to get right about all the gossip I've been spreading and all the bad I've been spreading on people and whatnot. I said, I'm sorry, and I want to get right. I want to lay my tongue on the altar. And it startled him. You know, that was kind of a different expression. And without meaning to, he just spilled over and said it. You know, you got to be careful of that, preacher. Amen. Men, all right. Women, all right. Young people, all right. But he said, all of a sudden, he said, I said, the altar's, it's only 8 feet long, but you could dry. Huh? Oh, my. And I love the line that I picked up. Listen, maybe you know this, and if you don't, you ought to write it down and ask me for it afterwards. But there's so much good in the worst of us, and so much bad in the there's so much good in the worst of us, and so much bad in the best of us, that it hardly behooves any of us to talk about the rest of us. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. Amen. Well, you can use it and wash one another's feet. Another way you can wash one another's feet is by forgiving love. I almost got there. It's verse 32 of Ephesians chapter 4. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Well, 7-year-old Bobby Jean, my deacon, said he looked at her out of the corner of his eye or just over his newspaper as he's sitting in the living room. And see, she was one of the many foster children that they had had, some like 40 different foster children through the years. And they would bring them to church, get them under the word of God and whatnot. And thank God for the good that was done, certainly. But Bobby Jean had a problem. She's about 7 years old, maybe 8, okay? And Bobby Jean was crying. She's sitting there on the couch, all right? Let me tell you why she's crying. There had been a little girl in their home who had been brutally beaten by her parents, okay, and abused. And, you know, the social services took her out of the home and out of her natural home, and they had her as a foster child. Now, Bobby Jean had been adopted, all right? That's beside the point. But that little girl was about 4 or 5 years old. And she followed Bobby Jean around like her shadow, all right? And after a while, that gets old for anybody. But, you know, if she sat on the swing, the little girl had to sit on the other swing. If she, if she started to sing, the little girl would start to sing. If she did her hair like this, you know, and pushed it off to one side, the little girl had to push her hair off to one side. And after a while, it really got on Bobby Jean's nerves, all right? And she was pretty rough on that little girl. And they had pictures of the kids that had been in their home. The social services took the little girl back to the parents later on, and hopefully they were rehabilitated some way, I don't know. But Bobby Jean, of course, still in the home. That night, she's sitting there on the couch, and she's crying. And so my deacon, he said, he's kind of gruff. He said, what's the matter? And she said, well, and she's looking up at the picture of that little redheaded girl that had been in their home, who had shadowed her all the time. She's crying now, and she's looking at that picture, and she said it's hard to hate someone when you love them. My. I thought, out of the mouth of babes, amen. Last place we're going, Colossians. 2-minute warning. Amen. Amen. I'm talking about it on my part, okay. 2-minute warning, Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14. Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Paul wrote to the saints at Colossae. He said, put on therefore, verse 12, as the elect of God. You're saved. You belong to him. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, you are a holy people. And you're beloved by God. So you put on bowels of mercies, depths of mercies. And let that be part of your life. Your accoutrement, is that what they call it? And put on bowels of mercies, kindness. Kindness. My, my, that's a lost word to some Baptist. They never thought of it. Kindness in our speech and our actions toward one another. Humbleness of mind. Meekness. Long-suffering. Are you following me? He said that these ought to be in our lives. And then he said this about forgiving love. He said, forbearing one another, putting up with one another, and always putting the other higher than ourselves. I'll tell you what, you're going to have to get your glory off to do that. Amen? And sometimes you got that thing floats back over and puts itself back on you. Huh? And sometimes you still got to keep throwing that off because you can't serve that way. You lay your glory by. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, here's the standard, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, agape love, you know the word. Totally different from the other kinds of love, phileo or eros or different kinds of love. But this kind is, I understand that when the Greeks almost had to invent another word for Christian love, they just, I mean, this is beyond anything. And that's the word they used, agape. It's God's kind of love. It said, it's not you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, but rather I'll scratch your back, I'll wash your feet, even if you kick the pan away. Amen? I'll wash your feet. And that's what, and that's what, love is the bond of perfectness, of wholeness, of maturity, of well-rounded Christian character. Amen? And it's what the cohesive force of the that holds everything together in the church. Pastor, I didn't know him real well. He was an upperclassman, you know, when I was in seminary, and he got to preach one day in chapel. He was a senior now, and rather than just preaching and amazing us with his ability to preach, he just testified, part of which kind of, you know, put him in a bad light a little bit, you know. This is what happened, though. He's pastoring in a church in Arkansas, and the church had just been, you know, Baptist custom, okay? Yeah, and so sad. But it was, and there was one man that just absolutely, every time the pastor tried to speak a kind word, he'd throw it back in his face and he'd criticize this and criticize that, just cut the pastor in one thing and another. And one day he called the pastor, telephone, got on the phone with the pastor, and he dressed him out, as they say, okay? I mean, he just tore him up and spit him out. And then slammed the receiver down in his ear. Okay? The pastor, being the spiritual giant that he was, he knew that there must be some kind of a disconnection, so he called him back. Okay? I'm being facetious, sarcastic again, all right? Yeah. The pastor called that man back, and he said, "Hello, is this Brother So and So?" "Yeah." He said, "This is your pastor." And he, bam, he's just, yeah, like that. He did the only spiritual thing to do. I don't mean that. Okay, you got that. And so that was pretty much what was going on in the whole church. It was going on like that. And God really, you know, he did a lot of praying, and God really led him. And he had a vase like this on the Lord's Supper table, and he preached a message on forgiving one another, all right? Boy, I'll tell you what, forgiving love washes feet. Oh, my. And so anyway, he had roses, though. And for the invitation, he got down before the people, and he said, if there's someone that you're crosswise with, you need to come and get a rose and take it back with them and ask them to forgive you and make it right with one another. Okay? Well, still as death, I'm sure, for a while. But pretty soon, one person take a rose back to another person and somebody else. And the pastor's praying. And he looked up, and there was a man standing there by him. And it was that man. And that man is weeping, and he's got a rose in his hand. And he hands it to the pastor. And they got hugged up there in front of the whole church. And that revival that broke out went on for about, I think it was about 4 weeks. I don't want to exaggerate too much. And there were like 18 adults that were saved. And God just blew through the community. He did a great work. I don't have roses, okay? And I'm not just saying that you need to forgive one another. I think I've given you a few other ways you can wash feet. Amen? But it just wouldn't be right if we didn't do something along with the message tonight, because the Lord laid his glory aside, okay? Amen? And he said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. And I know it's late, and I'm well aware of that, and I've been too long, and I've been told before, but I can take it. Amen? Put it on me. I still love you. I don't care. Amen? But the hardest part is to lay aside your glory. Amen? And to wash one another's feet. Okay? Lay aside your outer splendor and your glory. And anything in the way of you serving one another in your attitude. I have to deal with this myself. Amen. I just want you to know I have to think about these things and get right about some things once in a while myself too. Amen. But he took a towel, all right? I just happen to have some towels, not just for me, but I just happen to have some for everybody here tonight. Okay. And if you were here 18 years ago, you might remember the drill. Amen? I'm talking about, we're going to call these towels anyway. They're symbolic. Okay? And these are brand new. That's why it's hard to get them unfolded here. And, right there and right there and right there. And, right there and right. I should have had somebody else doing this so I could keep preaching and we'd keep you sitting there. But I'm almost done now, all right? I keep saying that, but it didn't happen. All right, there we go, right there and right there and right there. I promise you those are dyed gray. They're not that dirty, all right? And these were all the towels, all right? You say, preacher, what in the world are you planning to do? Now, I'm not planning to do much of anything, all right? But here's what I want you to consider in the invitation, all right? Our sister's going to play the piano, and because he took a towel and he began, there has to be a point where you washing the disciples' feet. Amen. Well, maybe there's someone that you've been crosswise with. That can happen in a Baptist church, all right? And maybe you need to say, forgive me. Or maybe you just need to go to them and say, I love you in the Lord. But what I want you to do, if you're going to do this tonight, you come get a towel. You take it back to that person. Just lay it on their shoulder. before it's over with, I don't know. I think I know you folks by now. I think you understand maybe even better now than 18 years ago, all right? But what you do, if somebody lays a towel on you, all right, you don't just keep wearing it to work tomorrow, all right? What you do is you can either take it to somebody else, or you can bring it back up here, or if you're too shy, get somebody else to bring it back up here, all right? All right, I'm just giving you the ground rules right now for the invitation. And then maybe there's someone you just like to get closer to them, all right? You really want to get closer to them. I'll tell you, go wash their feet. Amen. You just lay that towel on their shoulder or in their lap, you know, and they're going to understand the significance of it, and you are too. And you may need to say something, you may not, okay? Or maybe just be somebody that's on your heart. I'm going to tell you something. If the Lord Jesus were here tonight, I dare say we'd all be lined up ready to wash his feet, right? Well, you can wash the feet of the Lord Jesus tonight. This is what he said. Inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. That's what he said. That's Matthew 24:40. Maybe someone just on your heart, you just want to wash their feet. Amen. You just go lay that towel in their lap. Maybe you want to hug their neck. Maybe you just want to shake their hand, whatever. You might need to say something. You might not need to. Sometimes, though, it's a wife that needs to go to her husband and say, I'm sorry. Or, I thank God for you. Amen. And wash his feet. Sometimes it's a husband needs to go to the wife and say, I'm sorry. If you haven't learned those two words yet, you're not going to go anywhere in your Christian life. You say, I'm sorry. Or maybe, I thank God for you. Amen. And maybe you want to say something else. Sometimes, listen to me, all you young people, listen. But hey, I'm up here preaching. Young people, listen. This right up here, okay? Listen now. Are you ready? Okay, nod your head real good if you're listening. Okay? Even young people can wash feet. And ought to be foot washing Baptist, especially if you say you're saved. Okay? Sometimes it's a child that needs to go to their parents and say, I'm sorry. For I did this, or I had this attitude, or this. You can wash their feet. Or you might want to say, I just thank God for you, Mom, for you, Dad. Amen. You talk about washing the feet of your parents, you can do it. Sometimes it's a young person that just needs to go to another adult in the church and say, I thank God for your influence in my life. I've watched you. I've listened to you through the years or whatever. Amen? And sometimes, you just want to wash somebody's feet. I want to know you better as a young person. Or I thank God for you. A young person, are you ready? Are you listening, fellas? Are you listening back there in the back row? Listen to me now. I'm talking about you can wash one another's feet. Sometimes when you lay that towel in their lap or on their shoulders, say, I thank God for you and the friend that you are to me, okay? And sometimes it's somebody, I'm sorry about what I said or what I did to you, huh? Sometimes that's true of adults too. And sometimes you just want to say to that other young person or to the adult to adult, keep on keeping on. Amen? And sometimes it's someone that you know that's hurting and they could just use some encouragement. You can wash their feet tonight. Their comfort. I mean, you can give them comfort. You can give them support just by washing their feet. Maybe something you say, maybe just hugging their neck. Amen? And you may not know what that'll mean. There's an old song in the old Broadman hymnal, Before the Baptist hymnal, and that was I learned that song. Say, somebody needs your love, amen. Somebody needs your love. Maybe it's someone whose life and whose faithfulness has always blessed you, and you just want to say, I want the privilege of washing your feet, amen. And I'm going to tell you about that thing about volunteering. You can volunteer to wash feet. You don't have to wait until it's, you know, 7 ways from Sunday, they say, until you know, getting all these feelings and do I have to have, is this what you're telling me to do? No, you can volunteer if you want to. You're free, child of God, to wash one another's. We're free to do everything the Lord said to do. Amen. And he said, if you know these things, happy are you. Cheerful, jubilant, glad. Amen. Happy are ye if you do them. I know you want to be done. I do too. But I want to warn you about one thing. There might be somebody here tonight that after a while, this could happen. Might be somebody that says, I can't see why no one's washing my feet. I mean, you won't say it out loud, you know, but inside. I want to tell you something. That's an absolute warning sign. You need to get a towel and go to washing feet. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something else. If you're here lost tonight, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be bathed all over as a lost sinner. And thank God for good godly men that'll talk with you and help you, and women that'll talk with you and help you, girls. Amen. And pastor above all. Amen. I hope you will consider now, as our sister begins to play, the towels are here, everything's set up. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I'm going to ask pastor to do something. I want him to come up and set up here. I'll tell you why. Two things. I want him to see, all right, and to oversee as the bishop, overseeing what's going on here tonight. And the other thing is, preacher, I know that you'd be going to this one and that one and the other one. I mean, unless you really feel like God has told you something you need to do, you just watch as the overseer. Oh, no, we've already started the invitation. Amen. You don't need to wait any longer. Amen. Amen. I knew it. I just knew it. I knew it. Got a foot washing Baptist church. Amen. 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 Love you, brother. Amen. 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 You let go and let God. You don't know what it might mean to that other person.
Okay, I sure don't know what this is or that. It doesn't matter. You go to Washington.